had I been clairvoyant to a PDT meeting and oversight committee me and advisors meeting ago, I would have been a little more clear of the report, and documents 1 and 3 are combined. And, in fact, there will be a formal action in the way of a committee motion today. So that will be forthcoming. The Whiting Amendment was shelved until the completion of SCATE Amendment 3. And when the SCATE Amendment 3 was reaching completion, and I began work on Whiting, familiarizing myself with the issues, and initiating some PDT meetings to get people going in the same direction, picking up where we left off with Amendment 14. So during that review, the issues apparent in the scoping document, which was in the scoping hearings, which were held during early 2006, were ACLs and AMs, limited access, which has been a longstanding issue of concern for small mesh groundfish, catch allocation, ACL monitoring, and bycatch and research priorities. These same issues were taken out to scoping, and the scoping comments up and down the coast were very relevant to these four issues. So essentially, without changing them, we'd be renumbering the amendment, and if the council concurs with the committee's recommendation, we would be publishing a notice of intent or supplemental notice of intent after the council meeting. There's been a lot of prior work on these issues. In my opinion, especially with the limited access, there were too many options considered, and they were too complicated. So as we press forward with some of these things, I'm going to try and make them very simple, limit them to the number of options, and I think it will go a lot more quickly. In terms of a proposed timeline for this amendment, there's a bit of work that's needed to update the SAFE report, an assessment to understand where we are and how it relates to ABCs. The SAFE report, like other amendments, would be integrated as part of the effect environment section required by NEPA. So a lot of these analyses are needed, and in fact, you'll see that they're already underway. The PDT, given information about the stock status and information about exploitation patterns and history, would recommend interim ACLs and AMs and an ACL specification framework. Would develop that during October and November. I'll explain some of these concepts a little bit further into the presentation. The SSC is slated to review and approve an interim ACL in December 2009. The Oversight Committee and advisors would develop management alternatives between now and January 2010, when the council would be scheduled to approve draft alternatives for analysis in the DEIS in January. The DEIS would be scheduled for approval at the council meeting in April. We'd hold public hearings in May, and council would choose final alternatives based upon those public hearings in June. Assuming there's no major changes to the alternatives that have been taken out to public hearing, and we've done our analysis, we should be able to submit the final environmental impact statement amendment by July. As I said, there's been considerable work already done, besides familiarizing myself with the fishery and even going out on a trip. The PDT met August 20th and September 10th to begin update assessment and status determination. The last one was done was for the 2005 fishing year, calendar year, I'm sorry, to develop ABC recommendations, to begin work on data management analysis for the draft environmental impact statement. And coming out of that work, you can do a lot of analysis that gives us information about the effect of potential limited access options. The Oversight Committee and advisors met last week on the 14th to prioritize the issues to be addressed and to delegate work and provide guidance to the PDT and advisors. Which is where a little larger, but ACLs and AMs are a top priority for the amendment and will remain so throughout the development of the amendment. At the present time, based upon very preliminary information, it does not appear that we are going to be in overfished condition or overfishing is occurring. However, we are estimating discards for the first time using SBRM methods and the final report using both landings and catch may have some different outcomes. I'm not saying they will. I'm saying they may. Related to this whole issue, we have a data poor assessment workshop scheduled for December 2010. And the terms of reference haven't been developed, but we anticipate that the workshop would work on an MSY-based analytical assessment for at least silver hake and red hake. And there's a stock in the north and a stock in the south for each, so we're talking about four assessments. And in preparation for that, we're thinking of an ACL framework that would incorporate these MSY-based reference points and possible projections based on MSY concepts and trying to develop that in advance so that we don't have to do an amendment following the data poor assessment workshop. We, at the present time, our assessment is survey-based, looking at trends in catch and trends in survey biomass or exploitable biomass. All of these stocks use the fall survey. There are several data quality-related issues that the PDT has begun wrestling with and is being addressed by the PDT. The calibration of the Bigelow trawl to the albatross trawl. I'm not sure how far that got in the calibration workshop, but I anticipate that we would revisit that during the data poor workshop, but not, it would not come into play for the current update assessment. In terms of ACL AM's approaches, there are several examples that we could use, interim limits based upon historic catch like monkfish or exploitation rate like skates. We would develop a specification framework or control rule to set ABCs and ACLs using the results coming out of the data poor workshop. We would anticipate that information being available, and if it's not available from the data poor workshop, we would fall back to the current ABC structure that the PDT recommends. I'm dealing with generalities here because the PDT is currently working on these issues and the final results aren't yet known. In general, accounting for scientific uncertainty, the ACL is less than the ABC, and accounting for the management uncertainty, we can either account for it in the ACL or account for it in an ACT. Generally, the ACLs are used to invoke accountability measures. Another issue that we're wrestling with is that is a logistic issue. And Many stocks are facing difficulties in these ACL frameworks because they require formal assessments and complicated analytical assessments, which take considerable resources to conduct and prepare. So one thing that we may fold into the specification framework is some kind of indicator approaches to adjusting ACLs as an informal assessment approach. We anticipate a specification framework in year one to respond to whatever comes out of the data poor workshop, followed by a three-year cycle thereafter. The PDT has begun discussing ABC approaches. We have found that discards as a fraction of catch cannot be ignored. They seem to run 5 to 20% for silver hake and may run higher for red hake. We can use historic exploitation ratios. Some choices could be a base period, for example, 72 to 83, which is used for the status determination for silver hake. Look at responsiveness to biomass changes. Perhaps there are other approaches. We can look at historic catch in recent times or some other time, for example, during a period of stable biomass. The reference points for white hake were 72 to 83, but they were landings based only, and since we are estimating discards, they may come into play. There's also a data issue in terms of how zero toes were handled in the previous assessment. They were not handled correctly. That may affect the entire time series as well as the reference points. This issue was identified during the last assessment, but it was not incorporated into the assessment. The landings for the three species, primarily two, are being allocated to stock area, northern versus southern, using GARM methods. Discards are being estimated using SBRM methods, which is the discard of the various whiting species to captive all on observed trips and applied to captive all of all trips, and that's all stratified by gear and season and area and so on. In addition, there are some special commercial data issues. During the white hake assessment, there were recommendations for dealing with identifying small white hake from red hake. They're not always well identified in the commercial catch. There are some issues about the distribution of offshore hake relative to the surveyed strata. There are issues of unreported landings, often coming from transfers at sea for bait, which are, we think, reported in the vessel trip reports, but are not reported in the dealer reports. The discards are being estimated, but would be hindcast to the period before when sea sampling began in 1989. And another issue to look at is recreational catch, whether it's at all meaningful. Got a couple of graphs in your handout. I'm not going to go through them all. They're there just for informational purposes, which we've broken out landings of silver hake and red hake by stock area. For silver hake, we've also estimated discards, as I said, discards seem to be anywhere from 5 to 20% of the total. In the northern area, cultivator shoal fishery accounts for somewhere around 50% of the landings in the in the northern area. That was an unresolved issue the last time that this was addressed in 2006. We think we've solved that problem. So I'm going to skip ahead past the graphs. We can come back to them if you have questions. In terms of accountability measures, there are or can be proactive or in-season measures to prevent the catch from exceeding the ACL, and reactive measures to take into account any overages of the ACL, either reducing the ACL in future years or reducing quotas or allocations to reduce risk of exceeding future ACLs. These were both approaches taken in the Skate Amendment 3. A secondary issue for the plan, limited access. The control date was March 2003, so it's a bit dated, but still in force. There are some landings time series issues. As I mentioned, catch sold as bait. Is one thing to look at, but the service considers the dealer records to be the official record. So the approach that we're is evolving is to use the dealer data to as the official source of information, the primary source for analysis, but supplement that with analysis of the VTR data to point out differences and potentials for appeal. During the public hearings, some fishermen favored consideration of very old landings pre-1994, but even during the last time period, last time this was visited, there was some decisions made not to go before 1994 due to the deteriorating quality of older data. Many favored using the 1994 to 2003 period. Another choice that the committee and the council could make would be to look at recent history. And we are also using, incorporated into our data set, vessels that have letters of authorization issues to fish in exempted areas, not so much as a qualification criteria, but as a diagnostic as to whether a qualification options might qualify the majority of vessels fishing in exempted areas. In terms of qualification, there are several potential approaches, which the forthcoming committee motion would delegate to the issue to advisors, certain time periods before the control date, only after a control date, or perhaps a period straddling the control date. We could look at diagnostics in terms of currently active vessels, current income derived from whiting, and whether the vessels were directed on whiting and whether they fished in exempted areas with letters of authorization. Some issues that we've begun exploring dealt with the history. Whiting is an open access fishery, but some vessels, and in fact many vessels, also have limited access permits. And the default action has been to assume that the history transfers to the new vessel for permits with limited access history, but with open access history only, it's assumed that the history has transferred with the stayed with the vessel, unless there was a specific bill of sale which transferred the history. Now, in one case, the bill of sale was recognized as a means to transfer a history, and with another fishery it was not. So to track all of this, we're folding in the moratorium right IDs for vessels that have limited access permits to be able to analyze this correctly. And again, this is work that has is already underway. As I said, we have three sources of data. I would add six. There's straight dealer data from the dealer, vessel trip reports. We also have a dealer file in which which the information from the VTRs are integrated into it so that we can allocate the landings by stock area and perhaps come up with qualification criteria which are tailored to each area. Add to that permits, limited letters of authorization, and moratorium right ID information, and we're developing a data set to be able to combine all those four vessels that have a history of landing whiting between 1994 and 2009. Once you have ACLs, the amendment needs to address what you do with them. At bare minimum, one of the accountability measures could be seasonal quotas with or without limited access. But the committee and the council will have to wrestle with where the landings limits for non-qualifiers or where the landings limits when seasonal closures occur, if that approach is taken. Some other alternatives that were discussed at the meeting, and there was some support at the meeting for them, catch share alternatives, and due to the limits on time, the two that come to mind are something that we could either plug in or use as a template with a minimal amount of changes. One is a council sector policy for groundfish, plug in as much as we can using the different baseline for whiting allocations. But then we have to answer, well, what are the common pool rules for vessels that do not participate in the sector? A third option would be ITQs, also known as LAPs. There are quite a few issues concerning those, including referendums and who gets the vote. But there would be no common pool needed, and there would be no need for incidental possession limits. Everyone would need an ITQ to land whiting. It would be silly to pretend that we could get this amendment and a referendum done in time for June of next year. However, I think that we could make considerable progress on these issues between now and at least January, and if it becomes apparent that they begin holding up the progress towards ACLs and AMs, I'll be the first one to tell you that and ask that you defer those to a later action when it floats above the line. And finally, another issue to look at, and we kind of have to look at it anyway in terms of the effect environment and safe report, is bycatch. And there's really two kinds of bycatch. One is whiting bycatch and fisheries targeting other species, and they are related to estimating exploitation rates for status update and recommending ACLs and AMs. They're also related to identification of hotspots or areas of concern to the managers that. As you may know, the exempted areas are set up to when regulated groundfish species are less than 5% of the total weight of fish on board. That may or may not be occurring in all areas, and maybe it occurs in areas beyond the exempted areas, but at least we'll have some ideas about that. And then the other type of bycatch is bycatch of other species in whiting fisheries, and that's what I just covered. It may lead to or guide future research priorities. I do not anticipate this coming to the forefront and turning into some sort of an alternative. Sorry. And so finally, we have an outline of potential alternatives for the amendment. prioritized, and at some point, what I'm asking is that we retain these and try and make some progress on them while this issue is above the line, and when it becomes apparent that it begins slowing the amendment down, then we would set them off on the back burner to get this amendment done. So thank you very much, and I'd be glad to take questions.
Thank you, Andy. Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Andy, what I was most concerned about was all the slides on the science on the needs for the update assessment and looking at zero tows and how they have to be addressed differently, landings allocated by stock area using the new GAR method, discard estimates, SBRM, looking at new reference points. There's a ton of work that you have to do with the PDT to update the assessment. And after we're all done with that, then we get a data pool working group. And I was wondering if Frank could in any way supplement the PDT, call it a data pool workshop, and we submit the best science we can to our SSC in December so that we can begin this work on ACLs and AMs. It seems to me pretty inefficient to ask the PDT to do all the scientific work for the SSC, and then right when we're done, have a data pool working group do the same thing, only supposedly with more detail, I guess. So is there any way we can do anything before December? Is that the time, Andy, that the SSC is meeting to determine ABC?
Yes, the SSC would meet in December.
Okay.
The difference, however, is that the PDT is working on doing an updated index-based level assessment. The data poor workshop, although the terms of reference haven't been developed yet, I would anticipate would be developing analytical model approaches to assessing whiting species and stocks.
Well, I guess, Frank, my question is, for efficiency purposes, can we beef up the PDT to do the best assessment we can that might have us I don't know how we can get an analytical assessment on a data poor. It's data poor.
Yeah, the issues I've outlined also, there's been already a lot of work that has occurred on it, and I'm anticipating that we're going to complete this update assessment at our next meeting on October 15th.
This is somewhat inefficient and a little bit confusing. I think because this is an unusual situation, this is probably a topic that we should discuss at the NRCC, because this would be adding some more material to the data poor working group. So I think that would be the place to discuss it.
Okay. Anyone else? Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Yep. Is it the intention of I'm referring to your presentation, the bycatch discussion you provided on page 11 of our handout. Is it the intention of the committee, certainly you as the staff doing all the work behind the scenes, to minimize bycatch of other species in whiting fisheries, including the identification of hotspots in addition to our exemptions working? Specifically, I'm thinking about hotspots where we may have shad and river herring bycatch, since that's a small mesh fishery, and I'm sure the database indicates that the whiting fisheries are responsible for quite a bit of river herring and shad bycatch. So is that also part of the plan, part of the intent to deal with bycatch issues?
I'm not sure I can speak for the committee, but my intent was to estimate bycatch in the whiting fisheries of other species. Where that might lead, I don't know, but I doubt if it would become an alternative in this amendment.
I'm on the committee. I wasn't at the last meeting, but my intent when the committee meets again is to address the specific issue, since we spend a great deal of time focusing on the sea herring fishery, and deservedly so, regarding bycatch and river herring, of course, and shad being one central concern. And I would not want to let an opportunity slip by where we might where we would be addressing the whiting fishery and a similar possible problem with that smallmouth fishery. So I'm not going to. I'll be pursuing this at the committee level, unless, of course, the council decides not to address it at all in this next amendment.
Anyone else? David?
Okay. If there are no other questions or comments, we have a motion on behalf of the committee to wait for the... Okay. Read the motion to the record. The motion is to prioritize the list of issues to be addressed in Amendment 17 as first, ACLs and AMs, second, three-year specification process, third, improved reporting and VMS requirements, fourth, bycatch, and fifth, to task the advisory panel with developing a limited access and catch share alternatives. That's a motion from the committee. It does not need a second.
Discussion on the committee motion? Questions? Discussion on the committee motion? Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I agree with these priorities, and I certainly share Dr. Pierce's concern about bycatch. I mean, it's multiple fisheries, multiple important fisheries. But I guess... When is, I heard Andy say, well, he's ready and willing to start thinking about separating the issues at a time that seems appropriate, but when are we going to be brutally honest with ourselves and tell us that within the time period that we have, we're not possibly going to be able to do this all in this amendment? And I don't have a motion to make, but I just want to put that out on the table.
Yeah, I think... I mean, the committee wrestled with this quite a bit, and the answer is that a lot of these things are intertwined, that in order to do the safe report, you have to address probably all of them in some fashion or another. So a lot of this information is going to have to be gathered, vetted through the PDT, and put through the committee. At some point, the committee is already aware of the fact that it may run up against what I consider to be a very ambitious timeline. Given that, for example, bycatch has to be addressed in the safe committee report, that limited access is part and parcel to annual catch limits and accountability measures to some degree, that we're going to have to at least look at the issues, identify the problems, and then come back to the council and say, okay, some of these, may not be able to be done for this amendment. But at this time, the committee's feeling after, if you read the meeting summary, after a considerable amount of question and answer and debate, concluded that this was the best way to proceed at the moment.
Mary Beth.
Thank you. And when you're reading through the summary, you'll see that it was a joint meeting with the advisory panel. And, some of the members of the advisory panel have been trying to move this amendment. This is like the third time it's been initiated, and limited access is extremely important to them. And, part of the motion which I made was that we task the advisory panel with developing some alternatives. And we might get to a point where we can say, okay, we feel we can move the ACLs and AMs in a very simple limited access program, but we're going to have to wait for catch shares. That might happen, or maybe we won't even get to the limited access program. But I think at this point it's just a little premature. It is, a pretty aggressive timeline, but I think the committee's feelings were at this point we're willing to give it a shot.
It is an aggressive approach. There is a lot there, but certainly the limited access aspect of this has to be there, since a few years ago we actually put Whiting below the line to focus on Seahering, I believe. And at that time, of course, the issue was limited access in the Whiting fisheries. We had to postpone discussions of our limited access for some good reasons, data availability as well, if I recall correctly. I was chair of the committee at the time, so I remember it very well. Therefore, this is a reasonable list. Yes, the catch here alternatives are likely going to pose a significant challenge in terms of our meeting the deadline, but still, as Mary Beth said, why not keep it in there and see how far we might be able to take this, especially with the advisory panel being tasked with this particular share. Of course, when the advisory panel is tasked with that responsibility, staff has to help out. So Andy will be busy on that that issue as well, I'm sure, assisting the advisors. So the motion seems full to the max. Nevertheless, it appears to be the right way to proceed.
It just occurs to me as I'm reading this motion that you could read it to say that the limited access and catch shares portion isn't part of the list of priorities. It's just a task for the AP. The way people are talking, it sounds like you want those on the list of priorities for Whiting. At least that's what the committee's discussion was. And I think, maybe I have it wrong, but this says the list of issues to be addressed are ACLs, AMs, three-year specs, improve reporting and VMS requirements, and bycatch. And then also to task the AP to look at limited access and catch shares. But it doesn't actually identify limited access or catch shares in the prioritization. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't read it. I misread it. You're right. So I would move to amend. And the amendment would be that after the word bycatch, it would be, if we continue, limited access and catch share alternatives. So after bycatch, limited access and catch share alternatives, period. The advisory panel is to be tasked. I forget the what were the okay. The advisory panel will be tasked with developing limited access and catch share alternatives. So we indicate that it's a priority and that we will rely heavily on the advisory panel to jump into this fray and to offer up some alternatives for the benefit of the committee's consideration.
Is there a second? Second by Mary Beth. So I guess I'll turn to the committee chair. Is it your plan to have the AP working closely with the committee through the development?
Yes, it is. But I will say that the committee and the AP kind of made the cut prior to this amendment that the last two things would be tasked to the AP. They were of, I won't say of secondary importance, but the committee would focus primarily on the first four. Those are the ones that have to get done in order to meet the timeline. And if the advisory panel could come up with a range of alternatives for limited access and catch share alternatives, the committee would certainly support it, but the committee was not going to work primarily on those in the limited time that it has. So, if this amendment passes, this will change the task for the committee to include two more things that the committee had not planned on spending a lot of time, at least up front, on.
I guess I'm just trying to line that statement up with the comment that at a certain point we're going to have to cleave off some of these items. That's where my confusion started with the wording of the amendment, the presentation and description of the committee meeting seemed to be in conflict. And I'd based on that, it seemed like this amendment reflected the meeting more accurately.
Well, what I would say is that I thought the original motion was very carefully crafted to move those two things to basically to the advisory panel to let them work on them and see if they could come up with something that the committee could work on. The committee would continue to work on the first four. If the amendment passes, this tasks the committee with working on those two as well. I would ask the, you know, the makers of the motion, if that's their intent, that's fine. But then we will most likely be back here at some point saying we can't get all this done in the timeline we have.
Okay, because that's helpful. I was trying to be clear. It sounded to me like the committee wanted to keep working on limited access, but I didn't read the motion as having a limited access priority. So the committee really said, these are the things we absolutely are going to do in this amendment, and AP, go ahead and work on limited access and catch share. We'll see what you come up with, and at a time or point certain, we'll evaluate.
That's correct. The AP, especially, and a number of members of the AP, very strongly want to work on limited entry. So rather than thwart their ambitions, we said, okay, fine, you work on it. And recognizing it'll take staff time, which Andy felt he had to devote to an AP meeting. Everything prior to that, those first four items are what's necessary for 2011, and that's what we're going to spend our time on, at least at first.
Terry?
Yeah, thanks. I like the intent of this motion to amend, but I think it just is going to result in unrealistic expectations and an unachievable timeline. Watching the other amendments that we've just gone through and have been forced because of workloads to split, I can only see the staff being spread thinner than they should be in order to work with the committee to do the priorities. So for that reason, I'm going to oppose this motion to amend.
Anyone want to speak in favor of the motion to amend? In favor. Mary Beth?
I'm getting a little confused, so I'm not sure if I'm in favor of the motion to amend it on the second or if I'm in favor of the first motion in which I moved the motion. I mean, I thought it was pretty clear from our discussion at the committee meeting that we prioritized those items that we needed to get done by 2011. I mean, that's clear. We have a timeline we need to meet. There was no suggestion that we take limited access or catch shares out of the amendment and put it in the considered but rejected file. That was not the intent of the first motion. And so interpretation of to think that was would be incorrect. But in light of the fact that we realize these are complicated issues that take time, tasking the AP to look at those things, we weren't saying take them out by any means. So if people read the first motion to read that we understand that we've listed out those items that are being considered in this amendment, we will need to prioritize them. We still have limited access and catch shares for consideration in the amendment, but we thought the quickest way to move them at the moment is sort of on a parallel track with the AP taking it up, then I'm comfortable with the first motion. If people need further clarification by the language that's added in the second motion, that means the same thing. I'm happy with that, too. So I'm feeling a little uncertain. We're going around in a circle somehow.
Well, I'm the one that raised the issue. My read on the original motion was here are the items that are going to be addressed by the committee and prioritized. And it didn't include limited access or catch shares. All it said is the AP is going to play with them. The amended motion says here's the list of issues to be addressed, and it's prioritized, and it adds in limited access and catch shares. And the reason that I raised it is because I want to make sure when we're done today that we have expectations in line with what we're committed to doing.
And I certainly do appreciate that, because if we don't want people to be confused. So I think that's really helpful. So since you're reading it, not having attended the committee meeting and listening to the discussion we had, does the second one better describe what I just described? It sounds to me like it does.
My read on the difference is that you're adding in limited access and catch shares, but they're at the bottom.
Okay, thank you.
They're the last things that you'll work on at the committee level. You'll go in the order that things are listed in terms of allocation of work. Anyone else on the council?
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Going back to the first the motion, the way it was originally put up by the committee, was the intent to actually prioritize the first six items? In other words, if you ran out of time, bycatch is the last one, and that would be not worked on, or were those first six items of the same priority level and everything else was a lower priority level?
I guess the first among equals is the ACLs and AMs. They have to get done. The ones below that are, unfortunately, have to be worked on in order to do the ACLs and AMs to some degree. So in a way, I guess you could say they're all kind of lumped together, but we did feel it was necessary to kind of list them in some kind of order. In order to do the ACLs and AMs, you're going to need the three-year specification process. In order to have a specification process, you're going to need improved reporting. You don't have a mandatory VMS requirement right now for this fishery. It's still an open access fishery. A lot of people have VMS that are in other fisheries, but it's still not required. And bycatch has to be addressed because this fish is caught in virtually every fishery. I mean, it's not only the issue of bycatch of other fish in the whiting fishery, it's the issue of bycatch of whiting in groundfish and monkfish and squid and butterfish, mackerel, everything. That seemed to be the natural break. All of those have to be worked on to some degree. And then the limited access and catch share alternatives were considered to be somewhat secondary. And we weren't even going to have them in the motion until, you know, basically the AP members really wanted to work on this. And, we were going to move them below the bar, so to speak. And that's why we ended up wording it the way it, you know, it's worded the way it is, that they felt they could come up with limited access options and catch share alternatives that would be fully fleshed out that the committee could endorse. So that's why we said, okay, go ahead, you can work on them. As I said, if we move it to how it's amended, then the committee will be working on them as well. So it's a pretty major change.
Okay. I was reading Amendment 1, the first, the motion, there's the absolute list of issues the committee's working on, and this is what the amendment is going to contain. After hearing you talk, it sounds like what the intent of that motion was that you've brought forward today was a division of labor, not an absolute list of issues. And that the decision on absolute, what's in and what's out, is a decision at another day, another meeting.
That's correct.
Okay, so you were really trying to key in on who's going to do what.
Right, who's going to do what and what the committee absolutely has to do to meet the letter of the law, which is ACLs and AMs.
Okay.
That's why that's first.
Okay. And if I could just throw my, I'm not on the committee, I'm not planning to attend meetings, but I could throw my two cents in. I really wouldn't encourage people to come forward with limited access alternatives or catch share alternatives that predate 1994 or whatever the date is when the data becomes somewhat usable. Managing expectations is important, and bringing forward things that reach back into the late 80s, even the 70s in some cases, is not helpful nor realistic. So I just offer my two cents on that issue. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, regarding my motion to amend, in light of what you said, clarification, division of labor, so to speak, and in light of what David said about the advisors, the advisory panel being quite aggressive on this issue of wanting to do this job, offer up some alternatives, put the time into it, of course, with staff support. I think the motion is appropriate because basically that's what it is. Amendment 17 will have as its priority those particular issues with limited access and catch shares being of priority. But the Division of Labor will be such that the advisory panel will tackle that first and foremost and then offer those ideas, those suggestions up to the full committee. But at least everyone knows that in this amendment we will have as a priority the addressing of limited access and catch-year alternatives. The other issues, of course, at the beginning of the list will take time, certainly take a lot of effort, but I would hate to put off until 2015 and whenever it might be, getting to the issue of catch-share, limited access and catch-shares. I don't think we can, first of all, especially in light of the charge from the NOAA administrator, from the National Marine Fisheries Service, and we're going to deal with catch-shares. So let's do it right now and see what the advisors can come up with, and if they can come up with some viable strategies, then we'll be in great shape. Otherwise, of course, we have to revisit the issue. But for now, it seems to be the correct signal to send to those who are watching how we're managing the whiting fishery.
Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I just want to remind the Council of the timelines, and they're absolute. So that means in January, fully developed alternatives have to come before the Council for approval, fully developed. And then the PDT goes away and does an EIS. So, you know, at the most, my experience would say you could come with ACLs and AMs, a spec process, and if you really do a lot of work, you may be able to come up with, you know, three or four qualification criteria for limited access. That's about all I think you could do if, in fact, the science goes well. The PDT will be fully engaged with the SAFE report and update assessment and preparing the SSC for the all-important ABC setting in December, fully engaged. And then somehow the committee has to get a meeting or two in there to fully develop limited entry, accountability measures, all those things. So it's a tremendous workload to have fully developed alternatives in January. If they're not fully developed, there's no time in our timelines to do an EIS and continue to do oversight committee work to fully develop alternatives. They have to be fully developed, in my opinion, for us to meet that timeline.
Pat.
I have a comment or suggestion and then a question. The suggestion is on the motion. I think it would be clearer to me, having heard the discussion back and forth, if the motion to amend said something like to prioritize in the following order the list of issues to be addressed in Amendment 17. Otherwise, it does look to me anyway like these are the seven things or whatever it is. The question is how much staff time is going to be required to work with the advisory panel on developing limited access and catch shares, because if, I mean, it seems to me anyway, for them to make any progress, you'd need staff time and staff analysis. And if that's true, then have you really done anything by not saying that the committee is going to be working on it, besides that, you know, there may be too many things or more things than the committee can handle in the number of meetings that you have. But I'm just trying to get a perspective on what this really does.
I think Andy might want to comment on that, on the staff issue.
The way I look at this is a prioritized list of order. And I'd look at it in terms of trying to do what we can with the time that we have available, given that priority order. I would anticipate that it wouldn't just involve staff time working on limited access analysis, though, but would involve PDT, both in terms of just the rigorous analysis of options, but also their economic effects. Some of that's up front, some of it is after January, if limited access stayed on the table in January. I can't predict how much time specifically it's going to take. It will take a significant amount of time to do right, and to that end, I would try and guide the
guide the options towards simpler options rather than a very complicated list that the advisors and the committee were looking at during 2006.
In light of Paul's comments about the timetable and Pat's remarks regarding her interpretation of order of priority, my thinking is evolving, and it makes sense, especially since the more I think about this and listen to what is being said, I reflect on the fact that we have a catch-year workshop coming up. So that catch-year workshop is bound to provide us with some insights as to how we should move forward in the future on catch-year management for all these species. So perhaps this might be a bit too premature to have by January 1, that very ambitious that deadline that's not too far away. Anyway, so I would suggest then, if the chair has no objection, that it could be my motion to amend could start off by saying the list of issues in order of priority to be addressed. Instead of to prioritize the list of issues, it would read the list of issues in order of priority to be addressed.
Seconder. How does the seconder feel? It's okay. Is there any objection from the council? Okay. Anything further on the motion to amend? Ready for the question? All those in favor on the motion to amend, raise your hand. Opposed? Abstentions? Let's do it again. On the motion to amend, all those in favor, raise your hand. So that's unanimous. Now we're on the main motion as amended. Anything further? Jim Alba. Anything further on the main motion as amended? No? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous. Anything else under Whiting?
That concludes our report.
Andy?
Yes, I wanted to point out a discussion which is described on page 5 of document 2 during the committee meeting. And the oversight committee, in dialogue with the PDT chair / staff / me, discussed the flow of information and review of ABC recommendations, which the PDT is slated to provide to the SSC in December. And there was some discussion about the role of the oversight committee meeting and its ability to review, ask questions of, and I guess comment on the ABC recommendations, which at this time I don't know exactly what specifically they will be. However, I'm okay with the presenting the PDT report, finalized PDT report to the Oversight Committee for purposes of clarification and asking questions and understanding the rationale and the analysis that was done to do that. But I wanted to point out to the council that's the way the committee wanted to go rather than have the SSC or the PDT make its recommendations and have its dialogue with the SSC directly.
Andy, is the intent of this to require a meeting of the Oversight Committee prior to you giving your report to the SSC?
It would require maybe not necessarily an extra meeting, but would require the Oversight Committee to meet to have this dialogue with the PDT.
So it requires that the PDT consult the committee before the PDT gives its recommendations to the SSC?
The way I'm looking at it, the PDT would make its recommendations, its final recommendations, in writing at least 10 days before the SSC meets, and during that time we would hold an Oversight Committee meeting for purposes of dialogue with the Oversight Committee about how the PDT developed its recommendations and supporting analyses.
So it could require an extra meeting of the Oversight Committee for the purposes of reviewing PDT recommendations to the SSC on ABC?
It's possible it would require an extra meeting. I might be able to combine it with some other work.
And what would the committee hope to do with the PDT report other than read it?
I would look to others to answer that question.
I'll ask the chair. David?
I think based on the feedback from the committee and the AP that they would, if they had questions that the PDT could answer, they would be answered there. If they had questions that the PDT could not answer, they could be sent along to the SSC to help the SSC in its deliberations.
So for the questions of setting an acceptable biological catch, the committee is going to weigh in on scientific issues and recommendations to the SSC?
No, they weren't going to weigh in on the recommendations. They were, if they had more the idea of questions, if there were questions about scientific uncertainty or things of that nature, that they could ask those questions and the SSC could hopefully answer them. I think, and I don't want to put words in the mouth of all the committee members, but there was some concern about the fact that this is an index-based stock and there isn't a lot of information available on it, and that in other committees such as Habitat, questions have been posed by the committee to the SSC to help them, be able to answer the questions for the not only for the committee but also for the public, so that people would understand how the ABCs were arrived at and that they were comfortable that this was the proper way to go.
Okay. I don't know how we're going to operate, at least the first time around, with inserting an additional Oversight Committee meeting in between when the PDT does its work and when the SSC meets. You know, making that a requirement is the timeline is already scripted so that we can comply with our ACL requirements, you know, through 2011, basically. And opportunities to insert those questions vis-a-vis a required Oversight Committee meeting will really complicate and perhaps force us to not make timelines that we're committed to making. At the same time, there does need to be an opportunity for some discourse between the council and the SSC. I'm not sure this is the best solution, requiring a meeting where a subcommittee of the council reviews, technical work and heaps on a bunch of questions that then sends it to the SSC. I mean, some of these questions they're not going to be able to answer in 5 days' time or 4 days' time, which is what it sounds like the amount of time they're going to have, because I think staff prepares these recommendations and is committed to getting them to the SSC no later than 10 days prior to the meeting. But at the same time, I think there does need to be some process by which we can vet additional questions or other issues and find a way to bring those to the SSC. And I'll open it up to comments.
I think I don't want to mischaracterize it as a requirement either. I mean, it was a request to the council that perhaps this could be done. The feeling is that the committee's going to have to meet anyway. We've got all this other stuff we've got to do. If we could possibly make it so that the meeting comes out in the time period when most likely the PDT will have this information, that it could be part of the agenda to go over it and understand it, and as well as do the work that the committee's going to be doing. And, you know, I think to say it was a requirement is a little strong. It was a request.
Okay. Paul Howard?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I don't think the process now, the development process that we have, can really withstand another layer or another. It's just too cumbersome right now to meet all the timelines and to get our work done without overtaxing the PDT to come up with information earlier. However, I do, and the other thing is, the SSC is so overworked right now. Hopefully in the future it won't be, but they didn't have time to look at the herring questions that were asked. And, you know, we've got to, as we're evolving with our SSC, we have to look at how we do get council input into things and how do you get your questions answered. But, you know, so that's legitimate. How do we get the SSC determinations vetted to the council? And that's the public process, is when Dr. Sullivan or Steve Cadron comes tomorrow and explains, they can answer your questions then. But the process itself is, you know, to add 10 days more, to add more work to the PDT chair, who never used to prepare the SSC. Now that's an additional month to prepare for the SSC. We're running out of time in our timelines, and, you know, so we've got to look at it in more detail, how best to do it.
All right, Beth?
Well, I agree with everything that Dave said as far as characterizing the discussion at the committee meeting, and we certainly are not asking for an additional 10 days to be added to the timeline. We were requesting that we have a meeting within the current time frame, that the PDT is going to need to get their information to the SSC, and in light of that, there is an opportunity for the committee to meet. And you know, a lot of the comments made at the committee meeting were by me, having recently gone through a process on the Herring Committee meeting, where we had a lot of questions, and it's unfortunate that they didn't get to those questions. And in light of where we've ended up with Herring, and I'd like to send the questions back to them, but that's a totally different discussion, quite frankly. We do need to develop a way to communicate back and forth, and it just seemed that this could fit into the current timeline. As Dave said, it was a request. We didn't pass a motion that this would be required or some new thing in the process, and I would hope that we could try to do it.
Chris Kellogg.
Just one thing. I have to warn you that the 10 days to get the materials to the SSC is our goal, and we certainly want to meet that. We've been struggling to get information to the SSC, and sometimes they're getting it 3 and 4 days before. And that means whoever's the PDT chair is still working on that information right up to the literally a couple of days before the SSC meetings. The SSC meetings are very difficult to schedule, as are committee meetings. Sometimes it's hard to get a quorum. And to get that kind of tight scheduling in, I think would be very difficult.
Anything further? Anything else, Andy?
So the guidance at this time on that is not to plan the time and the resources to fold that in. It just,
I'm not sure what's the council guidance. Were you planning to have a committee meeting before the SSC meets?
Well, as Chris points out, these things are very difficult, especially right in front of an SSC meeting, and these committee meetings are not without a considerable amount of effort on part of staff. I don't mind answering questions. There's also the issue of, if the committee comes up with a question, what do we do with it? It can't go back to the PDT, is it appropriate for the committee to be asking questions of the SSC? What's the role of this meeting?
Well, I think it's a bigger question than Whiting, to be honest with you. It's a question of the process and how we get the council involved in communicating beyond the boilerplate. It's a boilerplate term of reference as we go around the horn on all these FMPs as we comply with the ACL and they give us the ABC recommendation. But there's a much broader question. Perhaps the executive committee could take a look at with the council's indulgence and come back with an amended timeline of how plan development works and look for opportunities for TORs or for questions from the council to find their way to the SSC. Additionally, when the reports that go to the SSC are transmitted to the SSC, they're posted on the council website as well. So there's a place for council members and the public to access the report as soon as it's provided to the SSC. Anything further? Paul Howard.
If I may ask NIMS or other folks that were involved in the or might know more about the Magnuson Act, was the introduction of the new requirement for SSC to set ABC, was that, intended to be more of a deliberative process with the council, with a back and forth and with questions asked, or is it more intended to be, more of a handoff, so to speak, scientific handoff from which you then develop management? Or is it how each council wants to do it? But do you know any of the background about how it was intended?
No, I don't really know the background. I assume it's how each council wants to handle it.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I suggest that you're correct, Mr. Chairman, and that this cuts across all different plans and species, so the executive committee could address this and then offer up a suggestion to the full council. It is an important issue. For example, the Mid-Atlantic Council right now is struggling with how to handle its counterpart to the plan development team, that is the monitoring committee, and advice provided to the SSC from the monitoring committee, and how to improve the process and to better incorporate comment from council members themselves. So we can also stand to benefit from what the Mid-Atlantic Council is attempting to do, interacting with ASMFC. It's more complicated with the Mid than it is here with New England, but still there are some common problems. So again, I suggest that the executive committee is at least the first step in this process to deal with a real important issue.
Anything further? Okay, we're done for the day. Back at 8:30 in the morning.